Who is ruling America? Is it the people of America? Or have the people been captured by that thing called in the Bible Babylon? Since 1918, the Red Antichrist have almost swept Asia and parts of Europe clean of Christians. They are now beginning their final drive to kill or drive out all the Christians from Africa, aided in their criminality by those who rule our own nation. And still the teaching of the rapture grows and spreads. The incongruity of it is almost unbelievable to those of us who read the Word of God and recognize from it the present tribulation which the blind do not see. But thank God, as we read Revelation 17 and 18, we are not reading of the rise of this great Antichrist world power. We are reading of its judgment or its end. As Babylon becomes visible to our people, they will be seeing its termination, its final death throes, as God moves to bring it to judgment and destruction. Almost without exception, the modern clergy does one of two things with the visions of Revelation. They either ignore them, or if they do refer to them, they insist most of these things still await future fulfillment. One can argue the time element. One can even insist that she has not yet made her appearance upon the world scene. But the plain words of chapter 17 are unequivocal in that she is the cause of the death of many, many of the followers of Jesus Christ. When John saw her, he described her thusly. Verse 6, Revelation 17. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The Bible prophesies a great tribulation, which most ministers insist is yet future, and yet in their own century, during the lifetime of many of them, we have seen the violent death of upwards of 100 million professing Christians in all continents. It is possible that more true Christians have died in this century than yet remain alive upon the earth. I believe mystery, Babylon the Great, is here now, at her deadly work of trying to wipe Christianity from the earth. I hate to be repetitious, but because of so much preaching today that Christians will not be here when these things are fulfilled, I have to keep repeating to my listening audience that not only will God's believing Christians be here when this takes place, but that it is God's people who are the target and the victims of this cruel world-ruling power called Mystery Babylon the Great. No rapture, no removal of the believers, in spite of that being so commonly taught. Now, you've already realized there are actually two symbolic entities in Revelation 17 and 18. One is the scarlet woman, the other is the beast upon which she rides. The woman is called Mystery Babylon the Great, while the beast is not named, but is described in symbolic language. In order to fully understand what the woman represents, we'll first try to identify the beast. In verse 3 it says, the woman sits upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. After John saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints in verse 6, the angel spoke to him in verse 7 and said, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns. So most people then read on what the angel said to John in Revelation 17, and when they finish the chapter, they don't know any more than they did when they started it. But John knew some things about beasts in Bible symbolism which most of you do not know. So before we read what the angel said in Revelation 17, let us learn some things which John would already have known about Bible. Turn back to Revelation 13, to a vision John had already had of a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now here it says this beast had 10 crowns on its 10 horns, and in Revelation 17, in verse 12, the angel says the 10 horns are 10 kings. Since kings wear crowns, it is easy to see we have a perfect parallel between the beast of Revelation 13 and the beast of Revelation 17 upon which the scarlet one rides. It is obvious the beasts are identical. So I ask, if I can identify for you from the Bible the beast of Revelation 13, can you use that identity for the beast of Revelation 17? The answer is obvious. Yes, you can. And John would have known that, and would have known these were symbols for something which had existed for many centuries. And we'll see that plainer in a few minutes. You just stay with me. No future Antichrist here. We're talking about something from the past. Let's read more of the description of the beast in Revelation 13. First, we read it came up out of the sea, had 7 heads and 10 horns with crowns. Then verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. If you were at all familiar with the prophet Daniel, as John would have been, this would have immediately reminded you of the symbols in Daniel 7, as it would have reminded John. Daniel had a dream in Daniel 7. And it says in verse 3, and 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Daniel then described them. The first, in verse 4, was like a lion. The second, in verse 5, was like a bear. The third, in verse 6, was like a leopard. So here we have the 3 identical beasts which are listed as being parts of the one beast which John saw in Revelation 13. And Revelation 13 also mentions a 4th beast, there called a dragon. And Daniel 7 also describes a 4th beast. He does not give it a name, but in verse 7 he says it has 10 horns. Then if you add up the heads of Daniel's beast, you will have 1 head for the first beast, 1 for the second, and 1 for the fourth. But in verse 6, Daniel says the 3rd beast had 4 heads. So the total would be 7 heads and 10 horns. So Daniel, in his dream in Daniel 7, saw 4 beasts, with the 3 which were named having the same names as the 3 parts of a beast John saw 600 years later on the Isle of Patmos, a beast which fits the description of the beast which Mystery Babylon was riding, a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. At this point, the coincidence is too great not to believe but that Daniel and John must have seen a vision of the same thing. So an understanding of the one will help in understanding the other. So before we speculate as to what the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns was in Revelation 17, let's see what it was in the book of Daniel. In Daniel 7, the 4th beast is not given a name, but verse 7 says that it was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and remember that word iron, we'll get to that later. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. In Revelation 13, the 4th beast is named. It is called a dragon. And it says in verse 2, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So the fourth beast also fits Daniel's fourth beast, although there is no name in Daniel. For we read in Daniel that it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. That would seem to indicate in both chapter 13 of Revelation and Daniel 7 that the fourth beast, called the dragon in Revelation 13, prevailed over the three previous beasts, possibly destroying them or at least absorbing them. For it says, quote, it devoured, and it does mention teeth. Now to make a long, long story short, especially because of our limited time, and because I am sure some of you know what these four beasts stand for, I will name them in the order in which they appeared in Daniel 7. The first, the lion, was Babylon, the empire in which Daniel was actually living when he saw most of his visions or dreams. The lion was the ancient symbol of Babylon. Excavations in recent years have disclosed that every gate of Babylon was guarded by a huge stone lion with wings. The second beast, the bear, stands for Medo-Persia, the empire which conquered Babylon while Daniel was there. You all remember the story of the handwriting on the wall, which Daniel interpreted for Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, in Daniel 5 and verse 25 through 28. Quote, as God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That prophecy was fulfilled that very night, when the Medes and Persians entered Babylon through the water gate and conquered the city. The third beast was then the next kingdom, Greece, which under Alexander the Great conquered and ruled the kingdom of the Medes, the Persians, and all of ancient Babylon. In Daniel 7, that third beast, the leopard, is said to have four heads. And if you recall your history, Alexander the Great died just shortly after he had conquered all of the Medo-Persian Empire, and his kingdom was divided among his four top generals. So the whole kingdom was divided into four kingdoms, or had four heads, just as described in Daniel 7 and verse 6. And by now some of you are saying, either that Pastor Emery is sure pretty smart to know all of this, and to give the names of empires to those beasts Daniel saw, or else he is just guessing. No, it is neither intelligence nor guessing. For I simply read chapter 2 of Daniel, and chapter 8 of Daniel, in two other visions, the names are actually given. Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Grecia, or Greece as we know it today. Yes, God actually named the empires which would succeed Babylon way back when Daniel was in Babylon and before Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians. So far, all I have done, which might be called speculation, is to say that the beast John saw in Revelation 13, which is also in Revelation 17, is identical to the beasts, plural, which Daniel saw in Daniel 7. Daniel's beasts were great world empires. They are named in Daniel 2 and Daniel 8. So I say that by using Bible symbolism to interpret Bible symbols, that John's beast in the book of Revelation would be the same identical world empires. The lion, Babylon. The bear, Medo-Persia. The leopard, Grisha. The end of the empire of Alexander the Great. So in both Daniel 7 and in Revelation 13, we then have a fourth beast or a world empire. In Daniel, that fourth empire is not named at all, only described. In Revelation 13, it is described and named the dragon. All right, the first three beasts were world powers, so it is logical to assume the fourth beast would also be a world power. So I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 9 of Revelation 13 the description of what John saw happen to the fourth beast called the dragon. Revelation 13, beginning in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things, and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. The last phrase indicates those who are willing to hear God's word would understand what has been said. If our deductions so far are correct as to the empires, the logical deduction would be that this fourth beast would be the empire which followed Grecia. History tells us that it was the greatest empire of them all, the Roman Empire, which swallowed up Alexander the Great's Greece, all of Medo-Persia, and all that which Babylon had controlled, which included Egypt and the north coast of Africa. So if these Bible symbols are to make any sense at all, when beasts represent empires, then the fourth beast is required to be Rome, for history records that Rome was next in line of the succession of empires. Now, often today, the rapture preachers will quote Revelation 13 and its phrase in verse 5, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And they say, see, that is the Antichrist who will come, and he'll have power for 3.5 years over the saints and so on. And they identify him as the Antichrist in verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. But this 42 months is neither future, nor is it 3.5 years. It is speaking of something which would follow the first three kingdoms. It would have to follow Greece. So its beginning is past history. And these are prophetic days, or one day for a year. So 42 months is 1,260 days, or 1,260 years. A long time compared to the 3.5 years. So many insist now. Because of the limited time, I will not go into all the history of the empires. Most of you know that from your own study of history. But instead, I will give you the classical Protestant interpretation of these beast empires of Daniel 7, Revelation 13, and Revelation 18. I have a copy of the Geneva Bible. It is a reprint of the Bible originally published in Geneva, Switzerland, in 1560, over 400 years ago, and it predates the King James Bible by 60 years. On the flyleaf of this reprint, the publishers say, quote, few translations of the English Bible have been as widely read and as influential as the Geneva Bible, which the University of Wisconsin Press here offers in a first edition facsimile. Originally published at Geneva in 1560 by Rowland Hall, the Geneva Bible shaped the theology, the literary expression, and the very consciousness of the Elizabethan world. The flyleaf goes on to say that the Geneva Bible was the Bible of John Knox, of Shakespeare, of the Puritans, of the American colonies, and of John Bunyan and John Milton. The Geneva Bible was originally published with extensive marginal notes. The translators interpreted, in the margin, how the prophecies were fulfilled, and these generally were what one might call the classical Protestant interpretation of prophecy. In the margin of Revelation 13 and of verse 3, of the head as it were wounded to death, the Geneva Bible says, quote, this must be understood of Nero, and then they explain that with Nero's suicide, the line of Roman Caesars ended. Of the next phrase, and his deadly wound was healed, the marginal note says, quote, the empire was established again by Vespasian. Then, the Geneva Marginal Notes go on to explain, and remember, this was the classical Protestant interpretation of this passage for centuries. And they say that this power, this beast power, then passed into the hand of the Roman popes, who were then fulfilling the rest of the verses, quote, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 40 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them." Just think of this. For almost 4 centuries, 400 years, classical Protestant preachers and scholars identified the fourth beast of Revelation 13, the beast with the 7 heads and 10 horns, whose description is identical to the beast on which Mystery Babylon sits in Revelation 17 as pagan Rome followed by papal Rome. The Reformers identified the succession of Roman popes as the fulfillment of the prophecy of the fourth beast of Daniel 7 and Revelation 13. Today, most Protestant ministers don't even know that that was the interpretation by men of the Protestant Reformation in Europe from the 14th century and on. And today, they blindly take the same passages and apply them to some future Antichrist whom they say has not yet arrived on the world scene. And by their teaching, they then hide from their Protestant congregations or listeners the original prophecy theology of the Protestant Reformation. And though millions of gullible American Protestants fall for the nonsense, the fairy tale, the false doctrine that Revelation 17 is a prophecy of a future Antichrist, no, the Protestant Reformers already knew 400 years ago that the visions of the last part of the book of Revelation were of the history of the world, beginning as far back as Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and coming right on down to the end of this age. No wonder American churchgoers are blind to prophecy today. Since the rapture preachers use the prophecies about the beast in both Revelation and the book of Daniel, and the description of what will happen to and through Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18 as their supposed source of information about the 7-year tribulation and the rule of the future Antichrist, we are studying those beasts and Mystery Babylon direct from the Bible itself. And I think you will finally agree, if you will continue to listen, that those chapters describe a tribulation on the earth which began centuries ago and still continues and will soon not begin, but will soon end. The description of Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 itself proves the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture is false, without further evidence, if our people would but read it. John wrote in Revelation 17 and verse 6 that the scarlet woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. After she was destroyed, and her destruction is described in Revelation 18, he said in verse 24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." To be charged with the killing of the martyrs of Jesus, Mystery Babylon would have had to have been guilty of killing Christians. If this is a description of something which rules after there are no more Christians on the earth, then God was mistaken in what he wrote in Revelation 17. If she is found to have killed God's prophets, then she must have been the enemy of God's prophets in past millenniums. She cannot be representative only of some future Antichrist. We'll first recap a little and then go on. In Revelation 17, the scarlet woman, called Mystery Babylon the Great, is said in verse 3 to be sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. We set about to identify the beast, since it must be coexistent with the woman. We turn to Revelation 13, because there, in another vision, John saw a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns rise up out of the sea. John said of that beast in verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." The animals listed in that beast immediately led us to Daniel 7, where Daniel had a dream of 4 great beasts rising up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, the second like a bear, and the third like a leopard, and it had 4 heads, and then he describes a 4th beast, but does not name it. So Revelation 13 has a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, with parts of it named the same as 3 of Daniel's 4 beasts, and since 1 of Daniel's 4 beasts had 3 heads, the 4 of them would have a total of 7 heads, and in verse 7 and verse 20 of Daniel 7, we read the 4th beast had 10 horns. The parallel between Daniel and Revelation is so perfect, we must assume Daniel was describing the same thing John saw in Revelation 13, and the beast of Revelation 13 is so perfectly matched to the beast on which the woman sat in Revelation 17, that it too must be a vision or a sign of the same thing. Well, identifying the beast or the beasts of Revelation 13 and Revelation 17 is really quite simple. And I'm going to go through this again, only adding more proof, especially from the prophet Daniel, because, and you folks listen to me now, because I can prove from Daniel and from Revelation, by identifying these beasts, that the doctrine that these chapters teach a future Antichrist is false doctrine. You just stay with me. Let's go first to Daniel 2. You all remember the dream King Nebuchadnezzar had, and his wise men and seers could not tell him what it was or what it meant, so he was going to kill all of them. Someone told Daniel, and Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar, according to verse 16 of Daniel 2, and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel prayed, and we read in verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." Daniel thanked God for the revelation, then went to the king of Babylon, and we'll begin reading in verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." Now here, this is an image of something resembling a man rather than a beast. But, strangely enough, that image is made up of 4 parts, the exact number of beasts, Daniel saw in Daniel 7 and the number John saw in Revelation 13. Now stay with me. Here comes the revelation. Daniel said in verse 36, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." Daniel goes on speaking to the king of Babylon. "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So the head of the image stood for the king, or the empire of Babylon. Daniel goes on, verse 39. "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." So what do we have? We have a vision of four successive kingdoms, beginning over 3,000 years ago in Babylon. This is not some future Antichrist. Babylon was the head. Daniel said, "After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee." History tells us that would be Medo-Persia, which conquered Babylon, and Medo-Persia would be the silver part of the image. The third kingdom of brass would be Greece, which conquered Medo-Persia. The fourth kingdom of iron would then be Rome, which conquered Greece, all of Medo-Persia, and Babylon. History has already fulfilled this, so we need not fear we are in error. Now go to Daniel 7, where Daniel saw beasts, and this would be another vision of the same succession of world empires. The first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings in verse 4. The symbol of Babylon was a lion with wings. Excavations of the ancient city have found each of its gates guarded by massive stone lions with wings. The second was a bear, Medo-Persia, which captured Babylon while Daniel was yet in Babylon. That story is told in the 5th chapter of Daniel. Medo-Persia never achieved Babylon's greatness, therefore it would be the inferior kingdom of Daniel 2. The third kingdom was a leopard in Daniel 7 with four heads. Greece, under Alexander the Great, rose up and conquered Medo-Persia. Alexander died, and his kingdom was divided into four parts, each part ruled by one of Alexander's four top generals. That would be the part of the image which was brass in Daniel 2. The fourth part of the image of Daniel 2 was legs of iron. The fourth beast of Daniel 7 is said in verse 7 to have iron teeth, with which it devoured and brake in pieces. Now some may think we have a discrepancy here, because the image of Daniel 2 also mentions something beyond the legs of iron. That would be the feet of iron mixed with clay. So this would seem almost to be a fifth kingdom, while no fifth beast is mentioned in Daniel 7, nor in Revelation 13. There is a reason for this iron mixed with clay, which really is a continuation of the iron kingdom, and I will explain that in detail later on. But first turn to Daniel 8, for some may argue with my identifying the Medo-Persian Empire as the kingdom which followed Babylon, and Greece as the third one, since they are not mentioned by name in Daniel 2 or Daniel 7, even though we know from history these were the kingdoms which rose up in that order after Babylon. But in Daniel 8, Daniel had another vision, and they are mentioned by name. In verse 2, Daniel says he, Daniel, was in Shushan, in the palace. That would be in Babylon. Now listen to this vision. Beginning in Daniel 8, and verse 3. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, and he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Now if you will look over quickly to verse 20, the angel gives Daniel the explanation of this vision, and he says, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." So remember, Daniel saw a ram with two horns, one higher than the other. This was the combined empire of the Medes and the Persians. One was small and one was larger. But they pushed west and north and south, as we know, and conquered Babylon. In verse 21, Gabriel went on and said, "And the rough goat is the king of Grisha, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king," and that would be Alexander. Then if you will go back to verse 8, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken," that would be Alexander's death, "and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." Those four are explained by the angel Gabriel in verse 22. "Now that being broken," in other words, the horn, Alexander being broken, "whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." So we have, in the book of Daniel, the specific names of two of the four beast kingdoms named. There is no excuse for modern ministers reading the descriptions in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, Revelation 13, Revelation 14, and Revelation 17 and 18, and saying, "Oh, these are of a future Antichrist kingdom that will come sometime in the future upon the earth." No. If you, dear people, would read your Bible, you would find that the angel Gabriel named two of the kingdoms in the series of the four, so that we who live in the end of the age can look at history and know these passages are past history. Past history. It is a great tragedy in Christendom that millions of church-going people never read enough of their Bible to find out that God has given them evidence in the Bible that will prove whether doctrines taught by ministers are true or false doctrines. If you will read the last part of Daniel 7, you will recognize about 15 or 20 verses in there which are used over and over and over by the so-called rapture prophecy preachers to preach of a great future Antichrist. And yet if you would read on in Daniel 8, you would find those beasts can easily, simply, biblically be identified as Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and they began to fulfill these prophecies over 2,500 years ago. I listened to a rapture Antichrist preacher just a few days ago. Read verse 24 and 25 of Daniel 8 and tell his audience That was a description of the future Antichrist. Read them with me. Verse 24 and 25 of Daniel 8. And his power shall be mighty, and not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And then this man spent about 10 or 15 minutes telling all about the great Antichrist who was to come in the future. But if he had read verse 22 and 23 to his audience, they would have recognized this was a prophecy which was to come to pass after the power of Greece was broken. Listen to it. After verse 21 identifies the power as Greece. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And then come verse 24 and 25. When does this creature, this ruler, described in verse 24 and 25, arrive on the world scene? He arrives on the world scene at the very end of the breaking of Alexander's kingdom of Greece. 2,200 years ago. And yet this man, who is on hundreds of radio stations around America, read verse 24 and verse 25 of Daniel 8 and told his poor deluded listeners that these verses would be fulfilled in a future world ruler. May God have mercy upon our poor, frightened, deluded, and deceived people. We will further compare the visions or images of Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Revelation 13, 14, and 17, and consider what is the end of those beast kingdoms. Most of it now, of course, is past history. And if you will stay with me and realize that, you will not be further fooled by those who read bits and pieces of these visions and try to tell you they are all of some future Antichrist who will rule for only 7 years. You will know there is no rapture, and you will seek God's will for what you should do as this age grows, instead of shirking all responsibility and waiting for the non-existent rapture. They say dreams die hard. Well, my friend, the rapture dream is one you had better let die. I am going to jump ahead of our story a little because of recent events in the United States, which are in themselves saying about America being under the control of this mysterious power called Babylon. That is in the recently revealed use of drugs and marijuana by members of the White House staff in Washington, D.C. Turn with me to Revelation 18. We just read the last verse of Revelation 17 that this Babylon rules over all the kings of the earth. Our president would be one of those kings, for the word king here means leader or ruler.